You're listening to another episode of Fanwagon. Hey guys, it's Billy from WooWow.com. I just wanted to let you know that this week's episode of Fan Wanking is going to be a little bit different because the interview we hosted last week with one of our very special guests, David Lloyd. Just to give you a little bit of a lowdown, David is best known as the illustrator of the story V for Vendetta and also the creator of the pulp adventure character Night Raven. And currently, he's running Aces Weekly, which is an exclusive digital comic art magazine, which features some of the world's finest art creators. So that's kind of what David's been doing these days. And the magazine's pretty awesome. So I definitely would go out there and check it out and subscribe if you're into that kind of stuff. You know, Jim, as you all know, our senior editor and our local comic guru, sat down and interviewed with David, and it was a pretty informative discussion. So, also, before I cut off and let you guys listen, this interview wouldn't have been possible without the help of our good friends, Ian and Wayne, over at Hazareye.com. So check out their site to shop, share, and geek out. And one last thing, I just wanted to apologize for some of the audio issues we had throughout the interview. It was a little bit choppy at times, so I hope it doesn't hinder your listening experience. Thanks.
I went through the first volume this week when I found out that I was going to be interviewing you, and I was very, very impressed with what I found on there. It was a lot of fun. It had kind of a pulpy, you know, almost sci-fi serial feel to it, a lot of it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, the thing about it is that we do want to appeal to people's visceral attitudes. You know what I mean? Like, there's a kind of that pulp stuff, especially in Mark Wheatley's Return of the Human. Wheatley and Jesse Vaughn's Return of the Human. It's really, I mean, Mark is in love with that pop science fiction book cover stuff from way back, and he's right. Actually made that live again in a really fantastic way, and it's actually quite revolutionary what he's done. I think with the way the story is told, it's with the idea of the single pictures and the captions, with the different captions on the same picture, it actually makes you look at the picture in a different way. It's a very interesting, revolutionary way of telling stories. So that's great. And of course, to a large degree, my story, Valley of Shadows, is very pulpish in a sense, because it's like classic noir.
Right.
But I think there's a whole mix of things in there, and this is the great thing about an anthology. You can have something for somebody, something for somebody else, and I think it's important, because especially if you're doing something online, you've got a very big audience that you can actually reach, and of various kinds. And if you think of the Sunday pages, the concept behind the Sunday pages in US newspapers, you've got something for every family member, haven't you? You've got something for, you've got Mary Worth, you've got, and then you've got Buck Ryan, or you've got, you've got all those characters, you know what I mean?
Right. You run the full gamut of styles and of approaches.
Yeah, exactly, and you've got the comedy stuff as well. That's what we're really trying to aim for with Aces Weekly. That sort of, everybody together feeling. And I think, the time is now that we can actually do it. You can get one person to buy a subscription, but it's for the whole family. It's kind of like that Sunday Pages thing.
Yeah. Okay, and just to kind of switch gears for a little bit, I did want to ask you about Karen Berger. I know she stepped down at the beginning of the week, and she is arguably the most important woman in the history of the comics industry. I know you've had a chance to work with her, mm-hmm. some, And I just want to—I wanted to get your sense of what you think that her departure, what impact do you think that has on the industry?
Well, for a start, I didn't know she stepped down, so that's news to me, and I'm very sorry to hear that. I think she's Karen's never had the respect or the appreciation that she deserves, in my view. You know, without Karen, a lot of the great movements, a lot of the great changes in comics would not have happened at all. I mean, she pushed for them. She came from a background where she was interested very much not in the way that most editors in comics look at things, which is let's keep the show going the way it is and let's just make what we've got bigger and better. She actually wanted to take a turn into something that was actually intellectually stimulating as well as artistically stimulating and entertaining from from an ordinary point of view. She actually wanted to develop things in a major way. She took risks that no other editors would take, and I think she's just absolutely amazing. And you know, I loved working with her during the time I did work with her. She was always very instinctive about things. I remember when I first did the sketches for the graphic novel collection of V for Vendetta. You know, I was convinced, I had this idea that just having a face on the cover, that the mask and the face would be a good idea. And she went with that. She knew exactly the power of the image in that way. And she's really great, and I'm really sorry to hear that news. But, you know, what she did was fun. It's just she accomplished a great deal.
And what she did with Vertigo, I think too, she exposed American audiences to an entire generation of British creators and international creators that otherwise I don't think we would have, you know, we wouldn't have had the opportunity to see. Do you feel like with the internet and the accessibility of other comics and partially Aces Weekly, do you feel like that's a role that the web can play?
Yes, I mean the great value of the web is that it can expand the possibilities. When you think about Vertigo, I remember Karen telling me once that she had to justify her existence all the time. Vertigo had to justify its existence all the time. I mean, I was naive enough to imagine that when DC was first taken over by a big corporation, a bigger corporation, I should say, that they would be safer, that, you know, they would be protected and they would get investment. Right. But it wasn't like that. Karen said, well, no, that means like we have to justify our existence even more. So that's the problem if you're inside one area where you have to operate in kind of handcuffs, in kind of chains in some way. Yeah. When you're on the internet, you know, there is no limit to how far we can reach. So there, you know, too much freedom actually means that you can't guarantee the quality of the content, which can be problematic. I mean, there's lots of stuff.
In a sense, that's kind of what you as the publisher and editor in chief of Aces Weekly, or as the publisher of Aces Weekly, that's a function that you can serve as a guarantor of quality, because people know what they're getting when they see you, and they, you know, they hear your name attached to this project, and they say, oh, you know, if he's picking the guys, it's probably going to be pretty solid.
Yes, exactly. Well, that I hope that's true, and one of the other benefits of being who I am and something kind of a reputation and name that I have is that the people who have come on board to work on Aces Weekly are people who know me and trust me. Everybody working on Aces Weekly, nobody's getting paid up front for this. Everybody's doing it because, you know, they want to do something that's new and different. And everybody works for a percentage of the subscription money. That's the concept behind this. We put out a great collection of stuff, and we ask for some people subscriptions, and that's how we get paid for this. So people are doing this. It's something completely new, and if it works, we'd all come away happy. But this is an experiment. But it depends on people. It depends on people recognizing the deal that they're getting. I mean, and it is. I mean, I'm sure you know the details of how much Aces Weekly costs. But let me just obviously go through them. You know, we're giving seven weeks of great story and great art. 7 weeks makes a volume. So we're giving 7 weeks of that for $10, and that adds up to 210 pages, because we have story and art, and we also have lots of extras. Now, mm-hmm. So every week you can get up to 30 pages of great stuff for under or just a dollar, just over a dollar. That's right. Like, I mean, you're not going to get that anywhere else, and it all looks fantastic stuff from some of the best names in the business, and they're on board because I've asked them and they trust me, and I'm giving the best possible quality to people, and I just want that message to get out that this is like the best thing I can get. And the reason why we can do this, we couldn't do it in print, of course, in print. The trouble is, if you go to print, is like all your money goes to printers, distributors, wholesalers, retailers, right?
Right.
With Aces Weekly, we go straight from the creator to the buyer. It's just, we go straight. There's no printing problems. That's why the art looks fantastic. You know, mm-hmm. the art comes straight from the artist's drawing board onto the screen. And it looks fantastic. And
it does.
Yeah, so, you know, we go straight from the creator to the buyer. There's nothing in between, which means we can give people fantastic stuff for just over a dollar every week. And it's like, you know, it's not rocket science. This is like the best. So, you know, if that message can just get out to everybody, then it'll be great.
I mean, when I found out that I was getting a chance to interview you, I did jump on and pay for volume one, and I had absolutely no problem paying the $10 for the 200 pages worth of stuff that I got. And I was very impressed and very pleased. Let's talk about the creators that you've managed to put together for this. It's a pretty impressive list of creators. I mean, besides yourself, we've got guys like John McRae and Kyle Baker and Colleen Duran and Phil Hester. How did you manage to put together a team like that?
Well, it just, I just asked. I mean, it's really, it's like a, Phil Hester came along with John McRae. I think one of the key things about Aces Weekly is, and one of the reasons why I've managed to get these guys on board and girls on board, is that I say to them, you can do 21 pages of whatever you like. Now that, you know, I say that because I know that's one of the things that attracts people. Creators rarely get asked that. They get asked by publishers, oh, can you do Green Lantern? Can you do this? We want you to do this. We'd like you to do a new version of this. But they never rarely get asked to do anything they like. And that was very attractive for a lot of them, you know, despite the fact that, you know, they were working under very experimental conditions for something that was new and untried. So that attracted people in a major way. But I can't honestly give you any other clues to why people came on board this other than the fact that they liked the idea, they liked the concept, and giving freedom to any artist, whether it be a writer or an artist, is what they all need. I mean, we all express ourselves best when we have no limits to what we want to express.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful, beautiful stuff. And
kind of thing that you'd see in a published comic book in your comic shop.
No, but it looks beautiful. It's fantastic. And I mean, looking at that, you know, it really gives me a sort of buzz, because I know what's happening is that I'm not only giving, I'm not only entertaining people through Aces Weekly, but artists are having a great entertaining time themselves by enjoying themselves and by having a great time drawing and telling their stories. So everybody's winning. And that's what really sort of like impresses me and makes me sort of like very happy that I decided to do this.
And I think the other thing, the other benefit to doing things the way that, that you guys have been doing them is that you know, having the six stories in each volume means that if somebody does take the risk, does do an experiment with their art, you know, and it doesn't work out, you still have six other stories in the volume, and it's still, but it frees them up to kind of come up with these spectacular, you know, spectacular ideas that, that even if they don't quite work, they're still going to look pretty impressive on the page.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you said it myself, you know, you said it for me. It is just great, great stuff and balances out because, contributors know that at the end of the day that they're going to be remunerated by subscriptions. So it's just no good just going off and doing something completely wacky and crazy, because I mean, you know, that'd be nuts. So the core of entertainment is like ingrained in everybody. I mean, we have a lot of people who just have just dived into the swimming pool of this industry, mixed with veterans who've been swimming in that pool for a long time. But they all blend very well together because they're all in the same pool, and they all want to be swimming in that same pool. So it's all worked out really well.
Excellent. Now, can we talk about your process a little bit? So I think the most interesting thing about Valley of the Shadows was it looked kind of like a black and white watercolor.
Yeah, it is. It is a black and white watercolor.
How did you pull that off? Are you drawing? Are you still pen and paper, or are you digital? Are you on a tablet now?
I use a computer very, very, very briefly to assist in coloring, or not completely, and I use it for some computer effects. But no, I like the sculptural feel of a brush on paper, pen on paper. I don't know how guys like Brian Bolan, you know, do his artwork. Brian has no art left anymore. It's all on screen. You probably know that. So I don't know how they do that. I mean, I suppose if I really wanted to, I would do that. But I think Brian obviously is the sort of guy who naturally could walk into that stuff easily. I don't stick to pen and brush because I don't have any sort of Luddite tendencies. I think technology is great, which is why I'm using it for Aces, of course. But from an artistic point of view, I do like that feel. And you know, that Valley of Shadows was done with just a black wash watercolor, as you see, on Bockingford watercolor paper. And you know, you can. It's just a very nice medium. Also, I wanted to do Valley Shadows in a kind of minimalist way. And if you just use that one kind of tool, you can get backgrounds, mood, very, very quickly, very, very easily. And you know, I'm a big fan of that style of wash drawing. I was a big fan of Gene Carlin, who I was very lucky to meet very briefly in New York, not last year, but the year before. I loved his black and white wash drawing, which a lot of people don't know how great that was. I loved that sort of work. And I actually wanted to do something. Initially, I started off wanting to do a sort of like a tribute to Gene Carlin in what I was doing. But anyway, I did my best. But it, 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 it I just love using that that style, and I think it's going to be a long time before I actually even go near the idea of using a digital form of drawing.
Yeah. All right. So, have you found anything? What's the biggest difference being on the publisher side now?
Oh, the admin, man.
I gotta ask about the paperwork.
Oh, not the paperwork. It's just everything. It's like there's everything to do. It's like obviously you contact. I mean, I'm not doing this alone, of course. I'm working with my collaborator and managing editor Bambos Georgiou, who's an ex Marvel UK editor who's doing fantastic stuff. I mean, he does. You know, we actually split the task between us, really. So there's just two of us on this, and I get help for other things that we need to do from various sources. But I really never imagined how much work it would be, because before I started this, ordinary emails as an ordinary human being would take up the morning. I'm sure you're aware of that.
Oh yes.
Situation. But when you're actually in business and actually running something, it's
triage is so much more difficult.
It's a 24-hour job. But I'm quite I do like a challenge. I've had this, I've always been attracted to challenges, and I'm certainly happy with the challenge that I've got now. We do need more subscriptions. We're trying everything we can to get more people to come and recognize what a great deal Aces Weekly is. So that's something that we're working at, and it's frustrating for me. But I must say, the effort itself is something I'm very happy to make.
So tell me a little bit about what's coming up in Volume 2.
What's coming up in Volume 2 by Jim Hunt of Val Mayeric, and Blue Cat is a... Well, let me tell you something. It's about an ordinary actress. She drives her mother's car without... She gets in an accident, and unfortunately kills a cat, which is a terrible thing, and she feels right.
David, I'm only getting just
great story. It's a great fantasy, and that's why Jim Hubbell and Val Mayeric. And then Santa Claus versus the Nazis, which I just told you about, which is very well researched, because in 1940 the Nazis actually did occupy Lapland. European legend, that's where Santa's fact, but the cat comes back, he was. And the idea is, what would happen if the Nazis found Santa's factory and all the magical power that they could derive from that? And it sounds wacky, but it's incredibly, incredibly good and amazing, and has a very serious core at the center of it. So that's Santa Claus versus Nazis. And then we have stories... Britannia, and it's about a Roman legion, a secret Roman legion called the Arcani, who are actually involved in fighting supernatural creatures that still exist in England at that time. And it's a kind of like, I guess you could call it a, sort of like the Dirty Dozen of the Roman Empire. But that's a fantastic story too. And then we have Catalyst Island, which I mentioned to you earlier, which is about it's about a time before the Ice Age, when the world was made of islands, and people moved from one island to another, and when one island was overpopulated, they had to move to another, or fight for power on that one island. So it's very much a story of society evolves. But it's incredibly, incredibly beautifully drawn. And as I said, it's like cave painting. It's fantastic. But it has to seem to be believed. And it's like, it's by a guy called Henry Flint, who's done great work for 2000 AD. This time he's just taken a little turn off the road, and it's brilliant stuff. And and we also have something called The Kept Woman, which is how can I describe it? It's Hitchcockian thriller. And it has, it's by Yishan Lee and Al Jazeeras. And it's a mix of a manga style and a French style. Okay. But I'm gonna describe it by just a piece of dialogue from it, which describes what it's about. And you have to imagine my wife, my silent wife. I will do everything I can to protect you. Please stay quiet in our house lost in the woods. Please stay here. Never open that door. Who knows what can happen if you go outside? So that gives you a flavour of The Kept One, which is another fantastic story. And these stories are in 3-page episodes, go through 7 weekly issues, and, well, what can I say? You know, it's all brilliant, fantastic stuff.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget to check out our website at wuwa.com. Follow us on Twitter at wuwa.com. Like us on Facebook /wuwa. And check us out every week for fan wanking via iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Take care. Thank you.